And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are delighted that you are with us on this day. Probably you didn't sleep with the windows up last night, or you maybe down. You didn't up, yeah. It was cold last night, wasn't it? We're glad that you're here on this day when we're going to do something very important, as we do every Sunday in worship. But today, a part of our worship will be to dedicate a new life, and we're excited to do that with that family in just a moment after Instruments of Christ will call us into worship. But before we do that, a handful of announcements, one not in your bulletin. Some have asked, and we are going to be collecting supplies for the victims of Hurricane Matthew through this Wednesday. We'll be taking another load. We took a truckload of stuff this past Wednesday. We'll be trying to do that again. So if you'd like to help, help again or help for the first time with that, you can simply bring it over to our little kitchen on that side, and we'll load that up then on Wednesday at lunch and carry that to a larger trailer that will be carrying it down to Lumberton to help folks that are struggling with Hurricane Matthew. And also, we have decided to let our World Hunger offering this year go for that ministry. So if you'd like to give to that, simply put that on your offering envelope for World Hunger offering, and we will make sure that gets to our Baptist men who are currently there feeding folks who have been displaced by the hurricane. So let me invite you to look at the bulletin. You'll see all of the announcements that are there, all the things upcoming. You'll note that a homecoming is just a couple of weeks away. You'll see opportunities to be involved this week and in the days ahead. Are there any announcements that need to come before us today? Then if not, take a moment to prepare yourself for worship as our instruments play, and then instruments of Christ will call us into worship. people said,
Amen.
I like that heartbeat. And today we come to celebrate a heartbeat. Because on May the 29th, 2016, the world changed forever. That is the day that Mr. Braden Earl Warntoe, who is sleeping so peacefully right here, right now, came into this world. We chatted a little bit in my office, and he just smiled at me. I had to stop twice because he just charmed me so well. What a special gift. And as our children just sang, what a special gift. Justin and Ashley and Savannah, big sister Savannah, bring this new life as part of their family to present Braden back to the Lord who gave him to us. For you see, this dedication is really about this family, to provide a place where Braden can grow to be all that God would have him to be. Jesus said, or the gospel says, the children were brought to him, Jesus, that he might lay hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, that first blessing, and they went away. Justin and Ashley, will you pledge to support and love Braden by providing the opportunity for him to grow up in the family of faith with the hope that he will someday confess Christ as his own teacher, Lord, and Savior? If you will, please say, we will. Proverbs teaches, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Recognizing the home as a central area where faith is taught and lived. The home is the central place where faith is taught and lived. Will you, to the best of your ability, with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which both Savannah and Braden can grow in love, loyalty, and obedience to God? If you will, would you please say, we will. Will you encourage Braden to grow in faith by your words and by your action so that he might later, when he is older, accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and be received into the fellowship of the church by baptism, fully partaking in the work and the worship of the church? If you will, would you please say, we will. And now to the grandparents and extended family of Mr. Braden, if you're here, would you please stand? And I understand we have grandparents and great-grandparents here today. Blessed is the child who has faithful and loving grandparents. Not only do you, who stand with this young family today, thoroughly enjoy and help nurture this precious child in your own unique way, but you also support his parents through these wonder-filled and sometimes frustrating process of being a parent. And now I would ask you, will you likewise pledge to support, encourage, and love both Braden and Savannah and their parents through these awesome years to the best of your ability? If you will, would you please say, we will. And now to Flat Springs Baptist Church, would you please stand with this family? And if you're a guest, we'd invite you to stand at this moment with us. So you see, Justin and Ashley, this room is full of hearts and hands whom our God has drawn together to form a family of faith. Within the Church of Jesus Christ, you as parents, you don't stand alone. And no child is without many spiritual uncles and aunts, sisters and brothers, to help on the journey. We're here to help you bear the awesome responsibility and the exciting opportunity of raising both Braden and Savannah. to the church? Will they grow and to have faith in Christ? Will they hear the stories of Jesus? Will they sing the songs of Jesus? Will they be encouraged to walk by faith little by little as they grow? Will they be forgiven when they fall? Will they be challenged when they need to be challenged to one day undertake the greatest journey of all, to follow Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism and beyond? The answer to those questions, church, that's our mission. That's our call. That's who we are. Are we ready? Would we as Flat Springs Baptists recognize the awesome stewardship that we have for Braden, for Savannah, for all our children, and for this young family to be the spiritual family to help them to be able to raise these children as God would have it? Church, if we are willing to commit to love, to pray, to teach, and to support this newly dedicated life to Jesus Christ to the very best of our ability, will we now say, we will?
We will.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, as a son sleeps in his father's arms at your altar, this is a holy moment. We are grateful for your power and your presence that changed the world on the 29th when Braden was born. And we already anticipate the day when he shall be born again into his faith. And we pray that you might strengthen Justin and Ashley as parents and Savannah as a sister, that they might grow together in the love and care that you plan for family. That's your plan, God, family. God, may they make their family the very best place it can be, that Braden may grow to be all that you intend for him to be. On this day, when we acknowledge him as a gift from you, we now, Lord, in this worship time, offer him to you and ask God that you bless him as he grows. And we thank you for him and for this family. In Christ's name.
Remain standing and get your hymnals.
Oh,
got one more thing. Sorry.
But you can still remain standing.
Hymn number 337. And it's got a really good tenor line, particularly in the chorus, so sing it out.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me have been known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know I have believed and am persuaded
us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, daily we thank you for the blessings that you give us. Father, today I thank you for the Gorto family and ask that you might lead, guide, and direct us to be the church that that family needs as they grow. Father, I ask that you be with those that are sick, those that are hurting, those that need healing, those that need soothing. You know each and every one. Father, I ask that you might bless the tithes, the offerings that are given here today to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our children up. We're ready. Come on. When you come around this way, you'll have more room. You gonna sit beside them? Okay. All right. It's gonna be fun. Okay. Okay, good morning, boys and girls. My, we've turned all the corner here. Good job. So glad to have each one of you. I'm going to hold this up and ask if you know what this is.
Medicine?
You kind of. This is calamine lotion. You know, don't you? Okay, this is a bottle of medicine. It's calamine lotion, and it's used to stop itching. Have you ever had chicken pox? That starts with kind of like a little cold, runny nose, and then you get a fever, and then you get itchy red bumps on you, and the itching just drives you crazy. The more you itch it, scratch it, the worse it gets. So you're not supposed to scratch it. It makes it worse. It's just very uncomfortable. But it's not hopeless because the calamine lotion will help. It'll help it from itching a little bit. And in a few days, it will start going away. And before you know it, you'll just be back to normal. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. In the time when Jesus was on the earth, there was another really dreaded disease, and it was called leprosy. Very, very many people had it because there was no cure for it. That means that there was nothing that they could do for it. And like the chicken pox, but a lot worse, their body was covered with sores, and it was just a horrible disease. The people that had that disease truly felt hopeless. They just did not know what to do. In fact, they were called unclean, and no one was supposed to touch them. Not touch them. They even had to live outside the city gate. They weren't allowed in. And if anyone came even close to them, they had to holler out, unclean, unclean. They couldn't even live with their family, their loved ones. So they were truly, truly hopeless. I want to read you in our Bible from Mark chapter 1, 40 through 41. I want to read you about a leper. And after we read it, we'll talk about him. A man with leprosy came to him. And him means Jesus, and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, Jesus said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left the man, and he was cured. Did you notice that the leper didn't say, I think you are able to cure me. He said, I know that you can. And he said, you can make me clean if you will, if you want to. And what Jesus was filled with compassion, that means he felt so badly for the man because he knew the man felt hopeless. And Jesus touched the man. Now remember, I told you that no one was supposed to touch them. And the lepers weren't supposed to touch anyone else. But Jesus touched him. And immediately, the leper was made well. I think that the leper was very brave because he knew that he wasn't supposed to go among the people. He knew that he wasn't supposed to talk to anybody. I think, are you listening? I think that this leper had been outside the gate, and I think he'd been watching Jesus. I think he knew who Jesus was. I think he'd been listening. Maybe he had a lot of time to watch and listen. And I think he had faith in Jesus because he went right up to him and asked him, would he make him clean? Now, sometimes in your life, you may find yourself in a hopeless situation. I hope you don't, but you might.
Yeah, I will do that.
Where will you turn when you get in a hopeless situation? Where can you turn? To God. You can turn to God. And he will be there to help you. We know that we have faith like the leper, and we can turn to Jesus. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we thank you for being there for us. We thank you that you are going to be there when we are hopeless. Keep our minds turned to you and our faith turned to you so that we will remember that you are the place we go in times of trouble. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. You can use your calamine for your itch.
As we continue in worship, hymn number 484. Higher ground. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
I'm reading through Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for hiding these things from wise and intelligent people and revealing them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what pleased you. My Father has turned everything over to me. Only the Father knows the Son. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to the Son is willing to reveal him. Come to me, all who have tired and from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Place my yoke over your shoulders and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble. Then you will find rest for yourselves, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
As we continue to worship and to pray, it's good to see Sarah in worship with us today, and we want to add Robert to our prayer list. Robert is going to be having some treatment at the VA hospital. We want to keep him lifted up. Also, Jimmy Bridges will be going tomorrow to Moore Regional for some outpatient surgery, and we want to keep him lifted up. And he also has to go to Rex on the 9th about another surgical procedure. So keep Jimmy. He walked in and said, I need prayer. Well, we all do, but we want to add him to our prayer list. And then please also add the name of Martha Hale. That's Barbara Rosser's sister, who will be undergoing surgery for colon cancer. We want to keep her lifted up as well. Pray with me. God, here we are, gathered faithfully, as you told us to do, listening for your voice and adding our voice with our church family to worship and to praise you. And Lord, in this moment now, we ask that you might prepare us to hear your voice speak directly to us. We have a list of names that we pray for, Lord, of folks with physical needs, and we do well to do that. But right now, in this moment, before the choir will sing an anthem that will challenge us, and then we will open your word and hear how and where hope comes from, would you speak to us? For Lord, there is probably some of us here today who are believers who need the healing power that calamine lotion won't do, but the touch of Jesus who gives us hope could surely do. So give us ears to hear. We know right now that the clutter of this world and Satan himself will try to stop us from listening. Because should we listen to your Spirit and follow your direction, we would be stronger in our faith. And Lord, that's where hope really dwells. So give us wisdom. Give us a focus upon your word. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am bound, no joy and stormy bound.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, instruments of Christ. I was talking with Ashley and Justin, and they told me that Braden likes loud noises. And he really loved y'all singing. I don't know what that means. I am impressed with Braden. This morning, open with me in your Bibles, you'll say, "Preacher, you were here last Sunday and you read further down." I know that. Just so you know, I know that. But I did this purposefully because we talked about dealing with grief last week. Today we're going to be in the same story, that of the resurrection of Lazarus. But we're going to go back to now the conversation with Martha. And we're going to examine hope. Hope that God gives. We're going to read from John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 17 through 27. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. You remember the story. Jesus has heard that Lazarus is sick. He delays his coming. Lazarus passes away. And 4 days after Lazarus has died, Jesus arrives. And here's the conversation he has with Martha. Verse 17. "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him." That's good stuff right there. "But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.'" Great statement of faith right there. "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her," powerful words are coming, "'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.'" "Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment today? For Lord, we're probably more like Martha than we know. We believe, and yet we struggle. We have hope, and yet we need hope. God, give us hope. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation for something to happen. What do you hope happens today? You know, sometimes we come to church and we don't hope anything happens. And we may not leave disappointed. What would you hope would happen today with your walk with God? What would you hope would happen in your home? What would you hope might happen? What expectation do you believe by your presence here in the presence of God, by you praising God and worshiping God, that when you walk out of this place, something otherworldly might occur? Hope, that's unique to our Christian faith. The hope of the resurrection. Hope motivates us to keep going and not give up. I love the old Lucy and Linus story from the Peanuts cartoon. They're sitting in front of TV, and you remember Lucy. If you haven't read that, you guys, you young guys, you might have to go Google this. But Lucy was always kind of bossy, and she looked at Linus, and she said, "Go get me a glass of water." And Linus looked at her in surprise. He said, "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." Lucy thought for a moment and she said, "On your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." Linus got up and headed to the kitchen to get the water, and he said these profound words, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." Hope. Well, in a real way, we have something, you and I, to look forward to. But I want to suggest it's just not going to be that day when we go to be with God in the air, that last day resurrection that Martha mentioned. Often that's how we read this story. But what do you think Jesus meant when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life"? Why didn't he just stop with the resurrection? Was he being redundant? I don't think so. I think he was saying, not only does the power of the resurrection affect you then, but it can affect you right now. It can give you hope to face the most difficult days. Martha needed a way. She needed a way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus gives us a prescription of hope. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Martha needed a way. Do you need a way today? These are challenging days. It seems to me from what I read and what I actually feel that we are concerned about our country. And we don't feel good about choices that we're going to be making very shortly. In fact, most folks, when we talk about the presidential election, talk about who they like the least rather than who they like the most. And then when we begin to think and project beyond that to what it's going to look like with whoever wins. Do you ever wonder how we got in this predicament? There's a verse. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever..." Can I change it just a little bit? "For whatsoever a nation sows, that shall it also reap." Do we need a way out? Do we need hope? Maybe on a personal level. You're here today and you've got on that happy face and everybody looks at you and it all looks good. But inside, there's a storm raging. There's a storm, the likes of which Matthew a few weeks ago might not even compare. Martha's struggling. She's struggling with what she believes about Jesus. She wants hope. She gives us that glimpse. She says, "Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died." And then she just stops. And for one second, she gets it. And I think of my life, sometimes I only get it for a second. Did you hear what she said? She said, "Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And then she says, "But even now, that you are here, wow." What could Jesus do today in your heart and in my heart? Do we need a way out? Do we need hope? Martha, she's struggling. I wished I could say, as she ends that with that tremendous pronouncement in verse 27, Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, who's coming in the world. And that's what we've been singing and praying today. We've been believing that. We're claiming that. But what about when it gets real? Because it gets real. Just a few. We talked about it last week. And that Martha who's just said, Lord, even now that you're here, but even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will get. You could do something now, God. In the midst of the deadness, you could bring life. I want to share with you today that Jesus Christ, in the midst of your deadness, can still bring life. But then Martha gets more like me when it gets real. You got to flip over to verse 39 because Jesus goes with them to mourn. You remember we talked about it last week. That verse that everybody wants when they're memorizing scripture. The verse says Jesus wept. You know that real short one we all want. But then Jesus said something strange. Maybe today Jesus needs to say something strange. Maybe he needs to say, there's something in your life today you need to let me say a strange word into. You need to let me say something that you don't want to hear. That you don't think. In a way, you've come and you've sang all those songs of faith, but you really need faith. You talk about faith, but you need faith. That's what he said to Martha. You know how I know? Lord, even now, whatever you ask, what do you think she wanted? What do you think she wanted him to do in that moment? What do you think she was saying? Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And even now, whatever you ask, the Lord will give it. I think she was saying, Lord, bring my brother back. Don't you think that's what she's saying? Today, maybe you've come and said, God, I want you to pour in me your spirit. I want you to pour in me your spirit. I want to walk out of this place stronger in my faith than when I walked in. That's what I want. But after it says that Jesus wept, he said, then take the stone away. Roll that stone away. And in verse 39, I want you to hear Martha, who just said, you are the Christ, the Son of living. Even now, whatever you ask, God will give you. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time, there'll be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. The real translation of the Greek says, Lord, by now he stinks. That's what the Greek says. The decay of life has already begun. It's 4 days in an arid climate. What happened to her faith? Lord, whatever you ask, roll the stone away. But no, don't roll that stone away. Don't do that. Martha, how's he going to get out if we don't roll the stone away? How's he going to come out? How can I give him life and bring him back to you? How can I bring him back the very thing you want? How can God bring back to us what God would do if we won't allow the stone to be rolled away? What's your stone today? What interferes with God doing all God would do, all God could do, all God wants to do within us? Oh, do we need hope today? Martha needed a way, but she also needed the truth, and Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The truth is not always what we want to hear. The truth is not always what we need to hear. Paul understood that in Galatians chapter 6. He says, that be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Where's your hope? Is your hope in this election? Is your hope in some great political system? Is your hope in TV? Is your hope in the prognosticators on television who tell us where happiness is? How's that working out for you? Where's your hope? Where's our hope? Martha needed the truth. And the truth is that Jesus says, I am the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the truth will set you free. But you and I, we have to be willing to be free. We have to be willing to be free. I've seen them take dogs and put shock collars on them and put them in a fence with what's called an invisible fence. Everybody know what an invisible fence is? Well, what the dog doesn't understand is not that boundary. It's that transmitter around his neck that is the problem. Because when he crosses that barrier where that barrier's been set up, buried in the ground, it activates that collar. And that collar shocks the fire into that dog. I started to say out of that dog, but it's into that dog that it shocks it in. And I've seen dogs that you could take the collar off after they had been shocked enough and stand right on the other side of that invisible boundary, and now the collar's gone, and call that dog. And that dog will look at you like, you must be crazy. You must be out of your mind. I can't go there. I can't cross that line. You can't tell a dog the collar's off. What's around our neck that today God would take off? That some of the boundaries and how we're doing husband and wife and how we're doing mom and dad and how we're doing brother and sister and how we're doing neighbor, that we might have hope, because the truth will set you, the truth will take the collar off of this old world if we're willing to cross the boundary. And finally, Martha needed life. She needed life. That's what hope is, the hope of life. It's so important. We need that. On July the 4th, 1952, it's a few years before I was born, Florence Chadwick, a great woman of her day. Some of you may remember that name. But she set off the Catalina Island and was intending to be the first woman to cross the English Channel. The water was numbingly cold. It was about a 16-hour swim. I can't imagine that. A 16-hour swim. Folks can run marathons in 3 hours. She swam for 15 hours, but something was different that day. Something sabotaged her that day. Something cost her that record that day. It was the fog. It was the fog. The fog had set in, and that's not unusual in that part of England, I understand. It wasn't the cold water. It wasn't the sharks that swam with her that were sometimes run away with rifle fire. She swam that major long distance of some close to 50 miles, and with only 1 mile left to go, she gave up and asked to be pulled from the water. They encouraged her to keep trying. She could do it. She was close. She said, pull me out. I can't do it. And so they pulled her out, a mile short. They said, what happened? Are you ready for what happened? She said, I couldn't see the land. I swam and I swam and I swam. But I just didn't have any hope because I couldn't see the land. Oh, sometimes we might be that same way. We might wonder, because this story has a happy ending. 2 months after her failure, she walked off that same bench and she swam the channel. This time, it was a clear day, and she could see the land. What land are you looking for? Sometimes we sing that sweet song, Beulah Land. Someday, God has given us a promise. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the life. He is the hope. He knows that difficulties lie in front of you and I. He knows that challenges are before us. And he says, in the midst of all that, I am the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am the way. When I tell you to roll away the stone, roll away the stone. And I am the life. Keep looking to me, and you'll And you'll make it. You'll make it. You and I, we're going to make it. Martha and Mary had lost their brother, but they had not lost hope. You and I will never lose hope. This church has stood here in just a couple of weeks. We're going to celebrate 111 years. And sometimes brightly, and sometimes not as bright, it has always been a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. And today, I want that light to shine as brightly as it ever has. Don't you? As you and I invest in this place of faith, as we invest our lives in our Lord, as we invest our lives in our Lord, we will find hope. We will be hope. We will be the instruments of hope for folks who need it. There are a lot of folks in the fog in America today. There are a lot of neighbors you've got and I've got that are in the fog today. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, but in him is blessed hope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Dear God, maybe there's someone here today who says, the sin around my neck has stung me too long. And today, Heavenly Father, by your power, I ask you to remove that collar, to roll away that stone, to let me walk by faith into your holy presence. I want to come out of the fog and see the land. I want to recognize that you've created me for eternity. I want to recognize that you've blessed me to be a blessing. I want to realize that you walk with me along life's narrow way. I want to proclaim to the world that you are the hope of this world, that you are the hope of this nation, that you are the hope of every family, that you are the hope of every person. And right now, oh God, I'm grateful that even when Martha was afraid that it was too late, you still called into that tomb, just like you call into our lives. And you said, come forth. And as surely as Lazarus came forth from that grave, today, O God, may we come forth from the graves of sin, from the graves of disenchantment, from the graves of too busy, from the graves that would rob us from being all that you created us to be. May we come forth in your hope and in your power and be your people. Lord, you know the need of every heart. You know the decision that if we would make today between you and us, oh God, what a difference life would be. Give us courage. For we believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we believe whatever you ask will be done. And so, Lord, we ask you to come in your strength and in your power and in your hope and touch us that we might go from this place and give hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, a time when we take a moment to make those important choices. Page 483, The Footsteps of Jesus. 483. This morning, if you need to make some decision, public or private, for our God and with your God, would you do so as we stand together? You were here with us on this special day of worship, and we are just delighted to have guests always with us, and especially the Gorenton family today on this day when we have celebrated the gift that is great. If you are interested in being a part of the associational meeting, the annual meeting, that is tonight, we have messenger cards. If you'll see me, I can get you directions and all of that. I am planning to go to that tonight, so please keep our association in your prayers and be mindful of the opportunity to help the hurricane victims, either financially or through bringing water or that list of things we've placed out, paper products, bug spray, things they can use right now. We certainly would give that to them by this Wednesday. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that you and I might be his people in the midst of all this. Would you pray with me? Lord, hope, not false hope, true hope, is in you. The hope that no matter what may come our way, as long as we are in your way, we're okay. Strengthen us. For there is a world that is hurting. There is a world and neighbors that feel hopeless. May we go out and be your salt and your light and your hope in the midst of them. This week, in Christ's name we pray.
Footsteps.